Welcome to Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes, a podcast hosted by me, Natalie Torres-Adad, an international award-winning author, two-time TEDx speaker, and investor, along with Vera Egli, an investor, sales and marketing pro, and multi-language podcaster. We will share the tips and tricks from interviews with self-made entrepreneurs, leaders, and those who have attained financial freedom while learning financial literacy in multiple languages.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for listening to another episode of Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes. I am Vera, and Natalie is not with us today because she is at a book fair. As you don't know, she's written several books, so that is what she is doing today, and it's a children's book fair, so that's even more excited. We love working with kids and getting them really knowledgeable on financial literacy from the get-go. But we have a very, very special guest today. Her name is Ellie Kay. I'll let her introduce herself in her own words, but we're very excited to have you here, Ellie. So tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we'll just jump right into it.
Okay. Thank you so much, Vera, and thank you for having me today. I am an author and a speaker. That's how I kind of started out my career. I've written 15 books, sold a million copies, with much surprise to myself that many sold. And then I've also spoken over a couple of thousand times as well as media. And along the way, one of the things that I did was called spokesperson work. And that was the precursor to brand ambassador work or influencer work. And I found that it was really lucrative. It could put all seven of my kids through college debt free. And it had a really good return. And that's kind of my happy spot right now. I'm an influencer agent for other clients, including your very own Natalie. She's one of my favorite clients, of course.
Yay.
And my influencers make up to eight figures in the work that they have been doing. And it's just a really fun space for me to be in right now.
Oh, that sounds fantastic, especially just really when you step into something that really gives you the freedom to not have to worry about putting kids through school and the freedom to also do what you love wherever, however, and with people that you enjoy working with. So all of that sounds amazing. And congratulations on your million copies sold. I think that's fantastic. We're happy to hear that. And so tell us a little bit about what it means when an individual wants to get into that space, because I'm assuming that, do you also work with them in terms of like honing in their story, or have they already done a couple of things themselves already? They have the story. Maybe you help them clarify or kind of find where their niche is.
What I do is I take established brands. So there are other, I'm sure there are other guests that you have on that help people build their community, build their followers, and hone in on their brand, what it means, et cetera, things like that. That's not what I do. I take people once they already have around 80,000 followers, and then I take all of those inquiries that they've been having in their inbox, and I monetize those. We turn those into contracts, and those contracts can be anything from the obvious, which is posted on social media that are sponsored posts, hashtag ad, complying with the FTC and those regulations that you have. That's one of the most common ways. But my influencers do a lot of things. They get paid to speak. They do what are called satellite media tours. And that's Natalie is fantastic at that. Very few people can actually do that. That's where you wake up. If you're on the West Coast, you wake up about 3 a.m. You get your first hit about 4 a.m. And then you work for the next 4 to 5 hours doing back-to-back-to-back media interviews on behalf of a brand. And that's a very specialized skill set. So my influencers do a full gamut of things. And one of the things I love about my work is that it's constantly changing. I was in the business before TikTok became TikTok. And back when it was the wild, wild west and corporations didn't know how to monetize it. So we've been that full gamut of emerging technology and platforms, and most of them can be monetized.
That's amazing. And how do you keep up with that? Because I love that you said that you monetize it, and you also obviously you focus on the contractual aspect of it. I think a lot of times influencers will step into something where it was just, the proverbial handshake, and then they get left in the lurch. So what triggered that? Did you have a background in that? What made you realize like this is a huge need and I can help solve it?
Vera, I love answering this question because, as I said earlier, I was a spokesperson and that was my bread and butter. And I realized I had an agent, by the way, mm-hmm. and my agent took 25% of what I made. And I realized that I was catching more red lines in the contract than she was. So wow. I had a natural aptitude. I do have a business background. I was an agent for a number of years in the financial space, not in the same space that I'm in right now. And I worked contracts and things like that on a regular basis. So I kept finding red lines, for example, where it says in the document that you can't work with any other financial institutions. And influencers would let that slide. They wouldn't even mm-hmm. know the difference. And they didn't even know that when they signed that for maybe $2,000, they can't work with anybody else for a year in that financial space. That's if they're a financial influencer, by the way. And they only let it go for $2,000, which means they're turning down maybe 20 to 30K in work for the rest of that year. I saw this happening over and over with colleagues and especially millennials that were breaking into this space. And I decided that I had repped my own deals for 15 years. Why not rep other people's deals? And that was about 8 years ago. And now I'm very grateful for the way that my boutique agency has grown.
Yeah. And I can just imagine that it was also somewhat shocking to some of these influencers to understand how much money was being left on the table. And
yes.
Yeah. You get so excited, I think, when everything's being offered to you and you have all these gigs. But at the end of the day, you have to remember that you have to get legal about it. You have to have representation. You have to have somebody in your corner where you won't catch everything. And it's not your job to catch it. It's your job, Ellie, your job to catch everything.
Exactly.
Not theirs.
Exactly. Yeah. And the talent, the brand ambassador, the speaker, the influencer, whatever aspect of the work that they're doing, their job is to give that speech, to develop that content, to do what nobody else can do but them. Whereas I will be the one in the background. Now, it's kind of funny. I have a major influencer who has made $30 million in the last 10 years. She even says that herself. But I was with her before she made a dime in this space. Wow. So I worked her very first contract and I'm working her contracts right now. And it's not Natalie. I'm not going to tell because I'm not disclosing what she makes. But she calls me a butterfly with a razor blade. Ooh. So that's what I do. I can do the happy, let's get to know you, kind of get to know these people that I'm negotiating with. But then if during the contract, they come to my client and say, hey, come on and just do this additional reel. If you just, mm-hmm. and will you go ahead and post it over to Facebook? And I come in and I say, no, the contract's for Instagram. If you want it to go to Facebook, that's an additional $3,000, but we're happy to invoice you for that and modify the contract. We can do that.
And there's a razor blade, yeah. right? According to that.
Exactly. Exactly. And you know, my goal for my influencers is the same goal that I have for myself. And that is, I want to work half as much for twice as much.
Yeah, because your value is there.
Exactly. And for me, you know, it's taken 2 decades to kind of build this background to be able to do what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And that's my goal for my influencers, because they may be turning down smaller deals, but they're holding out for what they're worth. They're right. holding out for their true value. And that is where the main money is made, when they're realizing that, and it's hard for them. It's hard for them to, like, they've been working and they're turning down a $2,000 and $3,000 deal, but there's a 20K deal around the corner that is waiting for them, which is, you know, 10 2K deals. And so right. they're going to be working half as much. And that's my goal.
And that brings me to the question of self-worth, self-understanding of what your true value is. Is it just, do you notice when they start getting nervous about turning those deals down that are like $2,000, $3,000, is it just a scarcity mindset thing that they're facing, or they've just been so used to that, or maybe they're afraid of making that big money?
Right. There's a variety of things. And that's, and in that regard, to a certain extent, I'm a little bit like a therapist mm-hmm. with my clients. Mm-hmm. And there are times to do something pro bono, perhaps. Right. There are times to take less, maybe even half of what your normal rates are. But those are going to be few and far between instead of the norm. for clients as they're seeing what they're worth. Let me give you a really good example. When it comes to negotiation, I was recently in Israel and we went to Bethlehem and they have all these nativity sets. Mm-hmm. And there's all these different ones from machine made nativity sets to machine made with a little bit of handcrafted work in there to the pure artisan work where every single figure in that nativity is crafted by an artisan. And it takes dozens of hours for them to make this. We were negotiating for that. And we got to the very end of the negotiation and I looked at them and I said, look, this is the price that I can live with because I'm going to put that in my entryway. I'm going to have it up year round. And I don't want to walk by that every time I walk by it and think I paid $1,000 too much for it. I can't live with that. And what do they say on the other side of the table when it comes to that kind of negotiation? Oh yeah, you can live with it. What they usually say is, well, what can you live with? What price can you live with? And then we name our price. But that's kind of what we're talking about. If you do a gig, let's say you have a speaking gig and you do it, and I'm just throwing out numbers here, but I'm thinking of a real client of mine who charges $10K per speaking gig, like an hour keynote. Mm-hmm. And if she let that go for $3K, then every time she thinks of that event, she is likely to think, man, I discounted that thing 70%. I bet you I left money on the table.
Right.
And I don't want them to have those kind of regrets. So it's not all about the money. It's also about holding out to what you're worth. And sometimes it takes a partner, like an agent, maybe a mastermind group. They will help you stand by what you're worth.
Right.
Even if it's not in this space of influencer work, maybe you have a job and you want to raise those kinds of things. Right. But it is a really good idea to have some kind of partner, whether it's a mentor, an agent, or a mastermind group that can help you decide what your worth really is based on your experience, not what you want it to be,
right?
You know, but what it really is. I mean, you can speak forth things. I mean, I speak forth numbers like I was going to sell 1 million books and then eventually it came about. But, you know, first I had to sell the first one.
Sure.
And yeah, and you had to work awfully hard. So yeah. That was 15 years of selling books and 2,800 media interviews to help promote these books. So it was a lot of work to get there, but you know, we spoke it into existence and it came to be.
Oh, that's so, I think those examples and what you just ended with is so fantastic because I noticed that a lot of people have a lot of questions around it. And they also, our self-worth is so tied into it. And when you do accept a deal anybody's lucky to have you in their corner because you can say like, hey, let's not walk away feeling bad about this. You don't want to leave negative energy one way or another. So that's right. Fantastic. And
right.
Speaking of satellite in, I guess, satellite spokesperson performances, how has that, do you see more of that happening? How has that shifted since pandemic? We have to bring that up because I know the speaking industry shifted tremendously during that time. So what have you experienced? What have you seen? And does that also impact the asking rate?
It can, yes. And so one of the things that we saw is that people that gave keynotes or workshops or satellite media tours, which is what I described earlier, where you're doing maybe 25 interviews in one morning. People who are used to doing that in person, like in a studio or in front of a live audience, they had to pivot. And what became really popular during the pandemic were VMTs. So those are video media tours. And those are where they were done over Zoom. They were done over different kinds of platforms where Good Morning America would send the talent a media kit, which had the microphones and the kinds of things they really need to have the quality that they wanted. And then they would go on GMA during the pandemic with that kind of an option. The other thing that happened was that event planners, PR firms, the people that hire the people that I work with, wanted to say, hey, they're not in person. They don't have to travel. They should do it for less. So a $10,000 keynote should be done for maybe $7,000. And I would push back and I wouldn't allow that actually, because I would say, look, she charges $10,000 plus travel days, and it's $2,000 per travel day. And it's going to take 2 days to get out there to do your event and then to come back. So you're already saving $4,000 by doing it with a VMT. And so we're going to do it that way. And they would. So 9 times out of 10, they would actually pay that rate and not do a discounted rate.
Oh, but see what you just did there is you stood up for your person in a way that also made complete financial sense. You spoke the numbers, you're still getting the value, and you're actually saving money. So
yeah, and it's a win-win because I want the people that I work with, the corporations, the PR firms that hire my talent, I want them to feel good about it. I don't want them to be the ones that walk by that nativity set and say, I paid $1,000 too much for that talent,
right?
You know? And so we want it to be a very good relationship both ways, because then they'll come back and they'll ask us for more.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I mean, all the information that you've shared here, I hope it helps those that are established and are looking for representation or have, you know, been thinking of doing things themselves. I hope that they reach out to somebody like you or anybody within your space that can truly help them. If somebody wanted to get a hold of you, where can they reach you?
They can go to ellie@elliek.com. That's ELLIE@ELLIEKAY.com. And we actually have a new client application that they can fill out. But the most important thing about that application is, even if they don't fill it out, they could go and click through to a talking paper that tells you everything you need to know about being an influencer and how the process works, not how to build your numbers or those kinds of things, but what's this process look like? What does the PR firm do? At what point do you start talking numbers? How long are terms on contracts? What money should you get for certain things? So there is a paper on that they can find at ellyk.com/new-client.
We'll make sure to put that information in the show notes for those of you listening, so that if you are maybe just starting out, you can already understand the process. And, you know, once you get up there, please reach out to Ellie. And I think, Ellie, thank you again for being here. We obviously, every time I see Natalie on a show, and whether it's in person or satellite, I'm like, yep, Ellie's in her corner. So I know she's in good hands. So really appreciate your time, Ellie. I hope to have you on the show again, and we'll catch you soon.
Great. Thank you so much. Thanks, Vera. And a big shout out to Natalie again, my favorite client.
Thank you. And please make sure to subscribe and leave your comments and reviews. To learn more about the podcast, check out the website and Instagram, Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes, and watch interviews on YouTube and IGTV. To become a sponsor or hire us for your next workshop or speaking engagement, please visit financiallysavvyin20minutes.com. All it takes is 20 minutes daily to become financially savvy. Music by Nikki and produced by Robert DeLude.